Happy opening day, ladies and gentlemen. It's a big day here in baseball world and in here at Will Sam and Sam in the Morning, live from the Army Radio Room. This is Sam Anthony. Joining me is Samuel Elizabeth Ference and William Robert Camilleri. Good morning, guys.
Morning.
How's everyone doing?
All right.
Just all right?
Yeah, it's just all right.
Yeah, well, you too.
It's
just all
I
right.
I mean, I'm very tired, but, you know, Easter break starts tomorrow, or spring.
Spring holiday.
Starts tomorrow.
We have to be politically correct.
Yeah.
That's right. We have to be politically correct on this sports show.
Sorry,
you guys have fun.
Everyone's not.
Is everyone going home?
Yes, I leave tonight.
Yeah, I'll go home tomorrow morning.
I'll be here, guys. Let's go. Working Easter Sunday. Let's go.
Nice.
That's all right. It just makes my parents miss me more because I'm not home. They're like, we miss you. And I was like, that's right. I'm the favorite son.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Exactly. I thought it was distance makes the heart grow fonder.
The same thing.
I mean, yeah.
Absence, you're not there.
Hot take, man.
Hot take. Yeah. Hot take from Will Camilleri this morning. So, Will, does that mean that because you're the farthest away from me on this table that you love me the most?
I mean...
In this room?
I don't know.
I love you the
most.
Well,
if it's distance, then yes. But if it's absence, then no, because we're all together.
All right. Well, we're going to move on from that you know,
Please. Hot
topic. But, you know, guys, it's opening day.
It is.
MLB opening day. Buddy.
I got my Bo Jackson jersey on.
He does.
My New Hampshire Fisher Cats hat on.
I thought about wearing the one you got me, but I went with the baseball town hat.
I mean, that's fair.
Hat.
You got to rep the Phils.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel that.
I don't have any baseball hats, so I just kind of...
Sam, we would have hooked you up, man.
I have... Actually, no, I only have two in my room.
I got the swag, dude. I get you a Pirates hat.
I got
a trucker-style hat that I think would be right up your alley. Yeah, he's definitely a trucker hat guy.
Truck, yeah.
Well, on that note...
So, we're here at opening day, guys. And you know what? There's a lot to discuss in terms of, one, like... How the Pittsburgh Pirates are going to do. Two, are the Philadelphia Phillies really a playoff contender, or is it just the hype over, like, all these acquisitions? Like, is it going to be able to, like, be executed? Because, again, there's the discussion on, you know, is Jake Arrieta going to be, you know, any sort of... Because he's been declining since, you know, his Cy Young year in 2015, but it was also 2015, so it's been, what, two seasons? So, you know, what's to say he can't, you know, figure it out this year? Are all these prospects going to come through? Are you going to see Scott Kingery, you know, get in there with his brand new contract, make a big impact? Or is this a team that, you know, again, you maybe should be more excited for in the coming years?
I mean, I think you should be excited for both. I don't know if they'll make the playoffs this year. I think they'll be slightly over 500.
I'm also
pretty optimistic. I'm hearing a lot of positive things about Scott Kingery. I don't remember who it was, but it was somebody in a higher up in the Phillies organization said that he was Chase Utley, but with a smile. So, I know.
That's cute.
Yeah. But he's listed as the starting second baseman, I believe.
So are we going to see him on opening day?
Yes.
Wow. Yes. See, that's exciting. Like, in terms of getting those guys out there, making an impact.
Mm-hmm.
He was, I mean, waiting to come up. Was he on the 40-man roster in September? I bet he was.
I don't know. I wasn't paying attention to the Phillies.
He was in AAA, so I feel like he was definitely on the 40-man.
Mm.
So the question is, do I start him in fantasy baseball?
No.
No.
Wait for him to get a few games under his belt, see how he's doing.
Because I have Ozzie Albies. What are your thoughts on... Because I've heard, like, a lot of these, like... I don't know if they're rookies or just guys coming up from AAA, like, that could be big name this year. Like, Ozzie, DeFrantis or whatever from the Red Sox. Like, are these guys really good?
Wait, what's his name?
Ozzie Albies.
Yeah, see, like, a lot of those names, though, what's he play?
Second base.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to see a lot of those names because of the stacked talent the Boston Red Sox have.
No, but he's not the one with the Red Sox.
Oh.
Ozzie's on the Braves.
Oh, I thought you were saying, I was going to be like, I don't know.
No, that other guy, he's a third baseman on the Red Sox.
Oh, Devers?
Yeah.
Devers is a monster.
Oh, yeah.
Devi Dingers. You know what? This is like the era of like transition in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
You're seeing a lot of new stars. You know, the Aaron Judges, the Mookie Betts, you know, Scott Kingery.
Benny
Baseball. A lot of the old, you know, the old guard is retiring. And you're kind of starting to see, you're going to start seeing that transition in football, you know, with all the quarterbacks leaving. You know, as soon as Tom Brady's done, Eli Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, Drew Brees, you know, it's this whole new era. So it's kind of what's going on in baseball right now. I mean, you got the Twins with, you know, Byron Buxton, you know, these new names here. And, you know, again, the Marlins had a lot of them before they traded them all away. You know, guys like Christian Yelich.
Yeah.
And
where's
he
at now?
Milwaukee. So more for the Pirates to worry about. You got LA with Ohtani, and that's going to be a discussion you're going to see all season. Is Ohtani going to be, you know, because they were calling him the next Babe Ruth because he played, you know, he's a pitcher and a hitter. But
what do you think? I mean, what do you?
I'm concerned about the UCL because it's already partially torn.
Okay.
If it completely tears, I don't think he'll ever. A lot of people tear the UCL and are never the same. So that's really dangerous, considering how much they paid him. Is he's really, you know, they got to be very aware of pitch count, how much they're using him. He only pitched once a week in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
So the rumor is that Ohtani is, and the Angels are going to go into a 6-man rotation.
That's what I heard.
Which then also leaves room for him, if he's feeling good, he's healthy, to be a hitter too. Because they haven't ruled him out being a DH before his first start.
He's listed on ESPN's Fantasy Baseball as a starting pitcher and a DH. So when you play him, you can only play him in one role. So you can't have him as one of your starting pitchers and have him be in your utility spot as a DH. He has to be in one or the other.
Though that's pretty clutch that you can just interchange like that.
Yeah.
Like if especially if he actually shows value for that.
Mm-hmm.
So
Here's a question. Has an Asian player ever won, like, the Cy Young or the MVP or anything like that? Because, you know, we spend a lot of money on players coming over from Asia, and it just seems like they're hyped up too much.
Did Ichiro ever win?
I don't think he did.
He won, like, the batting title because of best average.
Uh-huh.
Let's see. Well, there's Hisashi Iwakuma, who in 2013 finished in third place. He's from Japan.
Oh, yeah. He played for the Mariners.
Yeah. Let's see. I'm looking. Well, there's Hideo Nomo that won Rookie of the Year.
Okay.
He had 3 shutouts. His batting average against was 182. He struck out 200 batters in each of his first 3 years. The only other pitcher to do that is Sandy Koufax. And then he got hurt and his career kind of spiraled out. You know what? It doesn't look like it.
Hmm. That would be.
Cause like I don't know, is it the like the Japanese league, the Chinese league? That's just
JPL. Is that what it the
no?
Abbreviation?
It's the Nippon. I think it's NBL.
But okay. Like, is it I don't want to say softer, but like, is it more lax than MLB rules? I mean, like, what's
slightly different?
Why are these players coming over all hyped up and, you know, limited success?
You know what a lot of it is. It's the different levels of intensity. So you see a lot of – so when you're a – and I read this in a book, so I'm not just making this up. It was The Arm by Jeff Passan. Great book. I recommend it. But it talks about how, like, when you're in Japan and you're a young pitcher, their mentality – so, you know, again, the mentality of Americans is when you're younger, you know, don't overpitch. You know, you're not fully developed. Hurt yourself. The Japanese culture is – pitch, 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 pitch until your arm's going to fall off. Pitch, pitch, pitch. You're going to get better. It's like the idea of being a warrior is, you know, like the only way you're going to get stronger is through, you know, these trials of extreme. Like, do you remember Daisuke Matsuzaka?
No.
He was a pitcher for the Red Sox. Yeah. He was really good when they won their World Series in 2007, and then he got hurt and spiraled off.
Yeah.
He's a legend in Japan. There's this legendary Japanese baseball tournament. The name's escaping me, but he threw over 1,000 pitches in a weekend. And so he's a legend there. Nobody's ever done something like that. But the thing is, they love that. That's a show of strength. And just an update for anyone that was excited for Pirates. Their opening day has just been postponed.
Nice.
Yeah.
Is it raining in Detroit?
Yeah, I'm guessing. If they already postponed it. But yeah. So what happens typically is these guys get over there and they throw out their arms.
Yeah.
You know? Because that's been the problem with Masahiro Tanaka. Yu Darvish is still, I think, got the potential relevant. To be very good. That's what happened to Daisuke Matsuzaka. And that's what happens to a lot of these guys is they get hurt.
Yeah.
So that's, and again, you see it with Ohtani with a partially torn UCL already. I mean, that's just, and they really haven't figured, I mean, they figured out, you know, again, Tommy John is a revolutionary procedure. I mean, it's brilliant what they do really, but it's still one of those things where they haven't really figured out how to make sure that they can come back from that and be the same pitcher. Because typically what happens is, if you're not a velocity pitcher, if you're a pitcher that pitches, you know, a lot of breaking stuff, or you're a knuckleball pitcher or something like that, you can come back from a torn UCL. Like R.A. Dickey, the knuckleball pitcher, he doesn't have a UCL.
That's in your knee, right?
No, the UCL's right in your elbow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
So
it's like the only CL that's not.
Yeah, it's the only knee. CL like that's not in your knee.
Now, is that where the Tommy John surgery comes in?
Yeah.
Okay.
So when you tear it. If you guys want me to get a little bit more descriptive.
Hold on. Before you get into this, for everyone that doesn't know, baseball is Sam's sport. Sam Anthony's sport. Sorry.
Sam Ferentz doesn't know much about it.
I'm pretty much in the middle. But, yeah, this is all Sam Anthony thinks about all the time. So this is
that's
a national.
True. I also think about girls.
This is a national holiday.
Well, I guess that's all Zach
question. Yeah, for Sam Anthony, like, I walked into the room
like
this
girls.
Morning, and he's reading off the times of all of the start times, and I guarantee he will be following every single one of those games today.
I probably have multiple on at once.
Yes.
Hey, just wait until the World Cup starts, guys. 77 days.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so
okay,
explain the UCL.
I just wanted to.
So again, ligament right in your elbow. So if that snaps, you know. No good.
No.
Bad. Because you can't, you know, again, it's that whole throwing motion. So you can't get any force on it. Like there have been pitchers that have toughed it out through a UCL tear. John Lackey did it back in 2011. But it's really not a good move. So what they do, all right, in the surgery is there's a similar ligament to it in your hamstring. So they actually cut open your hamstring, find like a, you know, a tendon that's good enough. And they basically, like, wrap it around, like, the UCL and, like, re-hook it up and make sure that, like, and basically they're like, okay, like, we did the best we can. Like, this ligament's supposed to do the job. Let's hope it stays. And some of it depends on how good your ligaments are in your hamstring. Like, some people recover better because of that. But, again, the reason that it takes so long to recover from it, you know, over a year, is because it's a whole new ligament. And it's, again, it's like, you know how like when you get a new organ, like your body has to accept it. Like it basically, your body has to like adapt to the fact that you have this new ligament in your arm. So yeah, that's why Tommy John surgery is so brilliant, because one, you know, again, it's called Tommy John because it was first performed on Tommy John. So, you know, what a guy to be like, yeah, like
why not?
Like the doctor going, hey, like I'm gonna cut this ligament out of your hamstring and put it in your arm. You want to try it? And he's like, yeah.
What's the worst that can happen?
So,
yeah, I mean, if it fails, you're not pitching anymore. So you might as well try it if you got it.
It's funny because you asked the doctor why like he named the surgery after like the guy who had the procedure and not him, and he's like, because I wouldn't agree to do that. Yeah. Like that's crazy. Like that guy deserves to have the name. But yeah, I mean, it's so hard. And I mean, typically you tear it a second time and you're done, because sometimes they don't even know if like they're going to have another acceptable ligament. And sometimes they're just kind of hoping that it holds. Tear it a third time and you're done.
Oh yeah.
I mean, game over. Like they're going to literally be like, your arm is pudding.
Your arm is pudding.
I mean, you got to think about, Nolan Ryan, who arguably is one of the greatest pitchers ever.
Mm-hmm.
He played his entire career with a torn UCL because when he would pitch, he would put this stuff on his arm. And it was like Nolan Ryan's secret stuff. And it was basically like super extreme, icy hot, like times a thousand. And so there'd be so much burning and tingling in his arm.
That he couldn't feel it.
He couldn't feel it.
Well, didn't he say, like, wasn't it torn for, like, so long that he thought that's how...
It was supposed to feel.
That's how it was supposed to feel to pitch. And everyone's just like, no.
Yeah, they were like, no.
That's not how it's supposed to be.
You're not supposed to be in, like, extreme amounts of pain, like, during, before, after, all the time. But, yeah, Nolan Ryan was... And he was so competitive that he just played through it.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if he, like... Well, I mean, I guess if he had gotten that surgery, it could have been a lot different. But, like, if he had actually got the surgery and was successful, and that's a whole another tier.
And it's very... It's an interesting concept, mm-hmm. I think. But, you know, it's funny because the Pirates... I don't know if you guys know who Daniel Hudson is.
Yeah, I remember him.
He's one of the only guys who's, like, still successfully pitching in the MLB with... two Tommy John surgeries. He literally got Tommy John, and then his first game back, tore it again.
Oh.
Surgery was bad. It didn't work. And he was, you know, again, that's basically like going through 24 to 28 months of recovery.
Well, there was someone from the, that happened, someone from the Mets too, didn't it? Or did he play for the Mets? Because I remember
he played for the D-backs.
I remember there was a Mets pitcher that came back from Tommy John, and he was a young kid, and he went up to the majors, and you know he tore it like three starts in. I don't remember. It was a few years ago.
I don't know.
You hear that all the time. I mean, Tommy John. When you hear Tommy John surgery, you're like, oh, got to drop him off my fantasy team because he's not coming back for the
year. It's definitely not a good thing to hear.
Matt Harvey got Tommy John surgery, right?
Yep, Matt Harvey got Tommy John, which is why he's never really been the same since then. Part of it's a confidence thing. But part of it is...
Yeah, because how terrifying would that be?
You're coming back after a year of not playing.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, you can't throw for, like, 6 months. Like, you can't.
Yeah.
Like, that's just not something you do. You do, like, little arm exercises. It's incredible. And, again, if you're a pitcher that's built on your velocity,
mm-hmm.
You can't throw that velocity anymore. It just gets gone. That's why guys like R.A. Dickey... You know, again, R.A. Dickey was born without a UCL. How rare is that? Like, that's ridiculous.
He was born without it?
Yeah, so when he first got drafted by the Rangers. And they did a physical on him, and the doctors found out that he had no UCL. So they released him. They said, we don't want you. Like, that's terrible. So he eventually became a knuckleball pitcher because you don't need any velocity.
Oh, so he wasn't a knuckleball pitcher before that?
No.
Wow.
That's a fun story to read, too. R.A. Dickey. Wild. Sorry, Will. I get carried away.
Yes.
I'm learning. I don't.
And for those of you who are here on campus this weekend and want to check out our own version of baseball,
what kind of transition was that?
RMU softball plays at noon tomorrow.
It's true. I won't be there though.
Oh, I'll be home. You were talking about earlier about Pittsburgh sports, and there was something that just we've spent a lot of time on baseball, and there was something I actually want to get your opinion on because you're both Steelers fans, but I feel like you're also pretty realist about things. like in football.
Okay.
And our dear coworker Aaron Sims told me that the Steelers want to extend Ben's contract until 2022. Which would put him until he's 40. What are your thoughts on that? Especially because we had talked about him possibly retiring this year.
Ben's not going to want to play until 2022. Aaron doesn't know what he's talking about half the time.
No, and that but I wanted to get your opinions because it is something to think about.
He's not. I don't think he's. It's hard for him to come down to earth with the Steelers, but. I mean, Ben, he has two kids now, and, I mean, he's 36. For years now, and I know it's all talk, it hasn't happened yet, but he said, you know, I just want one more big ride. And it's a lot like what Hines Ward and Jerome Bettis went through. They wanted one more ride. Ben came in, gave it to them. I mean, I think it's only fitting that Ben gets that too, you know. Ben's been with the team since 2003. And
they need Le'Veon Bell to stay then.
They need Le'Veon Bell to stay. I think they should go out and draft a quarterback, like an actual quarterback, in my opinion. I mean, you have placeholders for now in John or in Bostic and Morgan Burnett, and I mean they still have a few good years on them. So I mean, just bite the bullet, draft a quarterback, mold him, and
I mean,
I'm a realist. I mean, would I love to see Ben stay 4 more years? Yes.
I would love it. His body can't take it.
I know. One more bad injury, and I don't think Ben's coming back from it.
And, you know, that's the thing. It's like you look at it and you go, oh, well, Brady's played that long. You know, Manning played that long.
Yeah,
their style. Exactly. They didn't. And Ben's style was wait in the pocket, get hit. You know, hustle, run, make things happen.
Break a tackle, make
scramble,
a throw.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, he took a beating.
Ben was a whole new type of player when he came into the league.
Yeah.
Because not a lot of people, I mean, you saw Michael Vick did it a little bit. I mean, not a lot.
Michael Vick did it in like a fast way, though.
Yeah.
Roethlisberger did it in like a bumbling, stumbling kind of way.
I mean, Cordell Stewart, the Flash, he was just like Michael Vick. But,
yeah.
I mean, Ben, he's this big guy, you know. I mean,
he was a playmaker. He did what he needed to do to make plays.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I don't see him. I don't think his. I'm sure he'd love to play. If he had the body of a 20-year-old, he'd play for 4 more years until he was 40. But I don't think, and I think, I'm sure his wife has told him a couple of times, "Hey, honey, when do you think you're gonna retire?" There, you know.
Yeah.
His kids are getting a little older too. You know, you want to be around. So.
Yeah, you want to settle down. He'll do what every Pittsburgh icon does. He'll get a restaurant.
Yeah, and like I said, I think, you know, especially if we win this year, if that's a big if, you know, I think he's gone after this year if we win.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the only thing keeping Ben around is he wants one more.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I think whether it's this year or next year.
Three Super Bowls or two?
Two.
Two.
Mm-hmm.
He's been to four.
Been to three, right?
Been to three.
Yeah, been to three.
Been to three.
Pretty good.
Should have been to like seven, but, you know.
Tom Brady.
Hey, if... All I'm saying is if Pete Carroll weren't on drugs and the Atlanta Falcons defense weren't terrible, we'd be talking about a losing streak
in the Super Bowl.
Three-game losing streak. And how many?
Nuh-uh, a five.
Five? Five? Mm-hmm. Okay, but then.
It's the two Giants ones.
Then we go back and say, well, you know, Jim Kelly was an amazing quarterback. The Bills went to 4 straight Super Bowls. They lost all of them. How much are we talking about them now? We wouldn't be talking about the Patriots that much right now. I mean, that's what I hate the most about – that's what irks me the most about Patriots fans when they're talking, oh, it's a great dynasty. Yeah, if you guys had 2 close run-ins, I mean, you lose those, you're on a 5-game losing streak, and all of a sudden you're putting your tail between your legs and running.
Well, and then you have to consider how close the other two, the wins were.
You're right.
They also, you know, Spygate cheated. Will,
mm-hmm.
Will, do you agree?
I do agree.
Yeah.
And they still only won by a field goal.
Yeah. I mean,
what would impress me more is if, you know, if Brady left, Belichick stayed around for a few more years, and they went out and got like a rookie quarterback and started winning again.
Mm-hmm.
So, or, you know, they both left and new head coach came in and new culture and team. And
you're going to start seeing a decline this year.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You're 100%.
I mean, I think there was a decline this year.
Yeah.
This past year.
Especially towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
You saw it. He dropped off after game 11. It's hard to go a full season. Your body can't take it. I don't care what you do to, you know, again, the TB12 method is not a good method. Like, they came out, like, when he released his book, like literally health experts were like, please don't do this. Like, this is not, like, Tom Brady said, like, you should drink, like, I don't know, something like twice your weight in water. And, like, they were like, no, like,
Don't do that.
Will die.
Yeah.
No.
Like, you can't drink that much water.
Question for you. You said, didn't they play the Steelers in week 11? How much of that was? And I know the Steelers are, you know, I'm a little biased here, but, like, the Steelers play a rough and tough game. I mean, how many teams did the Patriots play before them that played that style?
Their schedule wasn't that tough.
I mean, Tom Brady almost, and then, like, he went along, you know, you finish out with it. The Eagles play a rough and tough style. I mean, when you're constantly playing those types of teams, I mean, who in the AFC East plays like the Steelers do or the Eagles do?
Nobody good.
Yeah,
I mean, the Jets try.
The Jets, the Bills.
But the Jets compete with the Pats, too, and that's why they get to Brady. And that's when the Dolphins compete with the Patriots is they get to Brady. you apply pressure on number 12, and they lost Nate Solder on that O-line this year, too. So consider, yeah. like, that was
And they
their
lost
best
their other tackle, too.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, but when you're playing six games out of the 16 against the Dolphins, the Bills, and nothing against those three teams, but...
I mean, you're right. The Steelers get the Ravens and the Bengals, and all those games
and
are
the Browns.
Physical.
And even the Browns, I mean, are... And the Eagles, I mean, like, there are tougher divisions.
Browns
in
getting six wins.
Mm.
Tougher... That's a very, very good point. Like, I mean... I'd watch out if I were the AFC North. The Browns could sneak in there. Nice little wild
card. I don't think they'll get a wild card, but I think they're going to get some surprise wins. I wouldn't be surprised if they snuck a win against the Steelers next year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially at home in Cleveland.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where the Steelers almost – I mean
– Do you think OBJ goes to the Browns?
Yes.
Do you think the Browns give up 1-4 for him?
No. They give up future picks.
The Giants have come out and said that they won't give him up for anything less than 2 first-round picks.
Yeah. See, that's where, like, I'm not sure. Because, again, if I were the Browns, man, you got to get Barkley. You got to get Barkley. I mean, imagine having the tandem of Hyde and Barkley. And, again, Barkley's so big and strong, and Hyde's kind of the same way, just in not as a – You know, again.
The thing about Carlos Hyde, though, is, I mean, he's still a legitimate.
He was a talented back in a bad system.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, I'm all for the process of having a young guy behind an older guy, and the older guy kind of molding him for a few years. But, I mean, Carlos Hyde can still be that guy. I mean, he was a veteran player who succeeded for a couple years. I mean, you play fantasy football, you know. I mean, that is. Out of all the things that the Browns could do right now, I think drafting Saquon Barkley, at least at number – I mean, does he go to –
He's got
to
go at one or you're not going to get him. Unless you really love Darnold, unless you think Darnold's going to be your future.
If the Browns take another quarterback
– This better be the – But, I mean, you have Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, I think Tyrod Taylor's good.
That could also be a situation where, you know, you have a – kind of like a Ben situation, you know, where you have a veteran quarterback.
Or an Aaron Rodgers type situation where you're like, look, we don't want to pressure you to go in. We're going to get you in there. You're going to get used to our system, because that's the hardest thing with the Browns quarterback is, I think, you get thrust into it and you don't succeed.
You're basically starting.
And you're basically going to like be like, look, Sam Darnold, you're going to be our guy. We're going to create a system around you so that when – Tyrod Taylor is done, you're going to get in there and you're going to win us Super Bowls.
Because, I mean, we're looking at the first let's say, I mean, even the first five picks. You have Browns, the Giants, who are probably going to take a quarterback, if I were a betting man. Who's next? The Colts?
Yeah.
The Colts need a running back.
And they take Barkley. Exactly. No, Barkley's at 3, the Colts are taking him.
Yeah. And then who do the Browns leave at 4? If you take Sam Darnold at 1, do you go defense? Nicky Chubb, is he supposed to be – I've heard good things about him. Is he a top 5 pick?
But they say he – like, Giants might take him. Because they got rid of JPP, and that kind of suggests that they're ready to fill that with Nick Chubb. Depends, though. I mean, like, what do they want more again? And
you're right.
And I think that – I think if Darnold goes to 2 – I think you got to say the Giants take him, right?
Yeah. Because I think it's safe to say that he's the most highly sought after quarterback in the draft. He used to be Josh Rosen, used to be Allen. Even at one point it was Baker Mayfield, but right now we're on the Sam Darnold train.
You know, I think is in a very unique situation is the Colts.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you can sit here and you can say we want Barkley, but
also take a quarterback.
And, like, that's the thing. So Andrew Luck is such a question mark. And if he comes and he plays and he gets back to his form, you're fine.
Yeah. I mean, how dominant but is he going to come back? What was his injury?
I think it was a shoulder.
Shoulder injury?
Yeah.
How dominant are you going to come back after a shoulder injury? And that's hard for a quarterback. But maybe, you know, Andrew Luck, as young of an age as he was, he was drafted the same year as Cam Newton, right?
Yeah.
It was him, Cam Newton, and who?
No,
else?
I'm sorry. It was him and RG3.
Him and RG3.
Yeah.
I was gonna say that was one heck of a draft class if it was him.
Yeah,
and
no,
Cam
it was him and RG3. 1, 2.
And then 3 that year.
What a letdown that draft class would be in terms of quarterbacks if, you know, again, RG3 got hurt and sputtered out, and Andrew Luck got hurt and sputtered out.
Yeah.
And that was supposed to be like the, you know, those two were like supposed to be guarantees.
Mm-hmm.
You know, RG3 was supposed to be phenomenal, and Andrew Luck was supposed to be the next Peyton Manning.
Who was who's in Cam Newton's draft class?
Oh,
you guys remember?
That
was a long time ago. He's entering like 5, 6, 7 years here.
Yeah, he's been around. He's been around a while now.
But he's one of those guys. You know, you take a gamble on a guy like Cam Newton.
Jameis Winston, no. RG3,
no. Andrew Luck, maybe.
Let's see. All right, so. Ready for Cam Newton's draft class?
All right.
You got Cam Newton number 1.
Okay.
Von Miller number 2. Marcel Darius number 3.
Wow.
AJ Green number 4. Patrick Peterson 5. 6 is Julio Jones. 7 is Aldon Smith. And then the Titans with a doozy here and Jake Locker. Remember when everyone's like they were shocked he went so early?
Right?
Quarterback.
Quarterback?
Yeah. But then, you know, the worst part is with all those is, like, think about guys like the Bills drafting Marcel Darius. Number 11, the number 11 pick for the Houston Texans, J.J. Watt.
What a draft class.
What a draft class. I'm trying to see. Are there any other? Oh, Blaine Gabbert at number 10.
Oh, boy.
Christian Ponder at 12. J.J. Watt is sandwiched between two irrelevant quarterbacks that barely made it in the league. The Dolphins got Mike Pouncey. The Rams got Robert Quinn. Oh, my word. Mark Ingram to the Saints. Cam Hayward to the Steelers.
That was a Cam Hayward year. I remember that.
Andy Dalton in the second round. Andy Dalton and Colin Kaepernick back-to-back.
Who did the Eagles take?
Let's see. Danny Watkins.
Who?
Who?
Yeah, he was a guard. Clearly.
I don't think he's there anymore.
I don't think so. Vikings had Kyle Rudolph.
Wow, he fell all the way to the second round.
Yeah, he did.
Hey, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of talk about this this North Dakota State tight end.
South Dakota State.
South Dakota State tight end.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What was his name? Goddard?
Something like that. The Eagles are looking at him.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen as high as 1 and as low as 4.
You mean round-wise?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's always interesting. And, you know, again, people say...
Because for an FCS product, or FCS project, product...
We're getting a phone call. I don't know who it is. I'm not going to pick it up. James Wade, I don't know who you are. Are you listening? Good for you.
Answer it and put it in the microphone and say, hey, you're on Will Sam in the morning.
I feel like it's a wrong number. Yeah, I don't feel like picking it up.
Okay.
But yeah, back to what you were saying.
How legitimate are, because I mean, you're going to see players like North Dakota State's Nick DeLuca, the linebacker. I mean, how legitimate is the FCS class this year? Have you been?
No. Not really FCS. I mean, I don't know. I always think it's such a crapshoot with the FCS. I mean, you got guys like Wentz where it really pays off.
Those are the two
like
best players that I've heard.
Brian Westbrook went to Villanova.
I've also heard Wagner's offensive tackle. What's his name? Name's escaping me, but I've heard he could go as high as 6th round. But like a lot of these players are, you know, undrafted free agents. Couple of RMU's own put up good numbers at their pro days.
Andy Smigera. Oh my
put up
word.
Good numbers. At where'd he go? Clarion's pro day?
It might have been Cal's.
Cal's.
That's crazy. Good for him, man.
And then I mean Eldon did all right.
I think Andy had like the second highest vertical jump in the in the group this year.
Yeah.
Well, it was 40 inches.
He had a very hampered injury hampered season.
Last two years.
And I'm not a fortune teller, but you know, what could have been if he didn't, you know?
Yeah.
Does Andy Smigera become the 4th Army player to be drafted?
I don't think he'll get drafted. I think he'll get signed.
Okay.
After the draft. I mean, like, look at his 40-yard dash, 4.46.
Mm-hmm.
Great time. Vertical, 41 inches.
Mm-hmm.
Broad jump, 11 feet, 1 inch. Bench press, 225 bench press. He did 20. I mean, a lot of great things going on there.
And he's smart, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's a smart man.
That's the thing. Like,
sometimes you have to play smarter, not harder.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know. I hope he... I always hope well for the Army football team.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it's always fun to see those guys go out and be successful because it promotes our school, promotes mm-hmm. the program.
I know, like, you guys can't say anything, mm-hmm. but I'm going to say this one thing. I'm really excited for the year. I think that there's a lot of energy at practice from what I've been to. I think I really like the way Clark runs things. I think there's a respect for him. I think there's really a, you know, players know he means business. Mm-hmm. I love that you're running to every drill. It just feels like a whole different atmosphere to me. I think, you know, again, I don't think you can come in this year and expect Robert Morris to go win the NEC. I think that's, you know, you're going to be...
always the goal.
I mean, it's always the goal. You're going to set yourself
and
up for disappointment.
And it's NEC, so you never really know.
I mean, you're right. But again, it's a big change because it's, you know, not just getting, you know, a new mentality. It's, you know, bringing in those new classes of players and really, you know, seeing them grow. Heck, they don't even know who, like, their quarterback's going to be yet. You know, it's... Because, again, Barr's back practicing a QB. You have Caleb Lewis, and you have Jimmy Walker, last year's starter. And I feel like it's going to be one of those things where we really won't know until, you know, you get to, like, a couple weeks before the game, the first game against Dayton.
Watch out, Dayton.
So, is that at Dayton this year?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
Yes, it is.
Oh, yeah. You're excited. That's right.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I was reading up a little bit on Andy and Eldon's pro days each, and I don't know how this happened, but like the teams that are seeking after them the most, respectively, the Steelers for Andy and the Browns for Eldon, they showed the most interest in their pro days.
Really?
Yeah.
Did Gerald go to a pro day?
I don't think so.
I know Gerald had an agent.
Yeah. Him and I believe Andy have the same agent.
Yeah. Well, Andy definitely needs an agent. Mm. Huh. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, right. The Phillies sent panic throughout their fan base today.
Why is that?
Jake Arrieta got sent down to Clearwater.
Oh, really? Why?
Yeah, I don't know. It was some minor thing. He's still fast-tracked. He's being fast-tracked to his start, and he's still in as the starter on April 8th, which is what he was scheduled to be as his first start.
Mm-hmm.
They said... He's not on the opening day roster, and they said he got sent down to Clearwater, so it's like...
Well, honestly, I mean, I'd do that.
Bring
in a young guy to kind
of... I'm not going to lie, a little bit of panic struck through me.
Really?
Thus is tradition in our... I almost said Army Sports, but I mean, kind of Army Sports. Philadelphia Sports, where you get somebody new that's been good come in, and they get hurt, and then you don't see them play ever.
Oh. Ah! Well, when he got hurt, there was the panic.
Oh, I mean, there was more than panic when
I know,
that happened.
You were willing to give him your ACL.
Yeah, the entire city was willing to give him all of them.
I mean, I've never seen a more athletic play, him throwing, scrambling and then throwing a touchdown.
After
he tore his ACL. He stayed in for another play and then came out once they scored because they were so close.
Mm-hmm.
77 days till the World Cup.
And on that note, 77 days till the World Cup.
It might be 76, I don't know.
We gotta get your facts straight, Sam.
Oh my gosh,
this
is gonna be
another important numbers day. 2 weeks until my 21st birthday.
Everyone, we're gonna wish Will a very rousing happy birthday,
like,
live on air.
Oh yeah.
I don't even. I've been trying to rack my brains. Who is gonna be successful at the World Cup after all these, like, international friendlies? Spain completely demolished Argentina. I mean, like, you have Spain, Germany, France, England. Oh no,
I can't hear you. I can't hear you. All right, well, this is all the time we have today. Sam can talk about the World Cup as it gets closer, as the season goes on.
It's still far away.
And he's fighting Will for the mic.
No.
So this is Sam Anthony signing off, and I'd just like to talk to Mrs. Ferentz for a second. I'd like to thank you for supporting this show, and most importantly, me, as a radio host. I love you. Goodbye.
This is Sam Ferentz, actuary, signing off. Go Colonials. Love you, Mom. Sports.
And this is Will Camilleri signing off. Go Colonials. Go Birds. It's baseball season.
Pirates already got postponed to tomorrow, so
hey, avoiding
the Pirates season off to a booming start.
Avoiding, hey, they're not going to get that first L on the first day. So. Hey,
they're playing the Tigers. They were going to win. All right.
Bye, guys.
We'll see you.
Bye, everyone.
See you Tuesday.